The sermon text today is found in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. Mark 6, 30 to 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of him. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples said to him, "This is a remote place, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 200 denarii, 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for this word, preserved for us to be heard in our midst today, as it has been heard in the midst of so many believers through the years, and will be until you return. Give us ears to hear what you are saying to your church this day, we pray, in your holy and precious name. Amen. The disciples were worked up about the wrong things. They were asking the wrong questions. Are we to spend that much? It's a question that we understand. It's a question we might even ask ourselves. 8 months' wages, after all, is kind of a lot of money. Amen? And that if we were to spend that much money on one meal for these needy people, that would seem like a bit of a waste. These people should be able to provide for themselves. We can't possibly spend that much. Are we to spend that much? Was the wrong question to ask. Jesus doesn't answer that question. He only answers the questions that are the right ones to ask. Instead, he says to them something that makes it very clear what his intentions are. He asks them a question in return. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. There is a delicious bit of irony here in what Jesus is saying when he tells the disciples to go and see, because he knows that these men are going to go on a hopeless, fruitless journey. There are 5,000 plus people here to feed. How many loaves can you rustle up? How many loaves would it take to feed 5? There's no way they're going to be able to collect that much food. If there were that much food, they would have already eaten it, probably. Go and see how many loaves you have. Sending the disciples on a fruitless mission. Because these people are hungry for bread. But earlier in the story, these same people were hungry for something else. They were with Jesus and receiving the benefits of his teachings. And then he decided to go away for a bit of a rest. Everybody needs rest after all. So he and his disciples got into a boat and they were headed to the other side of the lake. But the people, seeing that he got into a boat, went on ahead of him. They saw and went in search of the real bread of life, the bread from heaven, the one who could teach them many things, the one who could heal their sick. They saw him go and they ran after him, and their mission was not hopeless. Their mission was not fruitless. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. The disciples were asking the wrong questions, using the very same language that Mark used earlier. Jesus has the disciples looking after bread, just like the crowd had been looking after him. The disciples should have known better. They should have known better, the disciples. They should not have questioned this whole adventure. They should have known, because they had seen God's power at work in their lives. Even within this very chapter of Mark, you have to dial back a few stories, but still within Mark 6, these same disciples had been blessed by Jesus with the power to cast out demons and to heal the sick and to proclaim the gospel, and they went from town to town proclaiming the kingdom of God, and they went without food. They went without extra clothing, without money. The only thing Jesus allowed them to take with them was a staff for walking. And it had worked. They had survived, and the message of the gospel had gone on. And now these same disciples are wondering where the food is going to come from. When they're surrounded by thousands of hungry mouths, the disciples were sidetracked by the physical and material challenges of their situation. I don't blame them, really. I don't blame them, because they too were hungry. There's a detail in this story that just fascinates me. Early in this story, they're doing all this work with the crowds, and they say Mark says that they're so busy that they, the disciples, didn't have a chance to eat. They're hungry. And now Jesus wants them to scrounge up food for everybody else. I resonate with this, because when I get hungry, I don't function very well at all. I get very grumpy and very short-tempered, a short fuse. It's not good. Tara knows that if something's wrong in my world, it's usually my stomach that's not happy, one way or the other. So one of the first remedies we try is to get some food in me if I'm feeling really grouchy. Now, I guess I should say that, in all honesty, I've never really been hungry in my life, right? We live in a world, a society, a portion of the world, I should say, where real hunger is not very common. It happens, but not like it does in other parts of this world. I've never really been hungry, I understand. But when the resources run dry within me, I can't focus on what I'm doing. I get short-sighted, perhaps just like these disciples. What's amazing about this story, in part, is that by the end of this miraculous feeding, there are enough leftovers to fill up each of the disciples' lunch boxes. They each have a basket. This is part of a normal Jewish attire, a little basket that you would put your lunch in for the day. That's the basket that they have, and there were enough leftovers to fill up 12 of them, one for each of the disciples. It's big enough to carry a lunch, small enough to be portable. It was perfect for the meal, and there was just enough. By the end of the story, each of the disciples got to eat, even though the bread of life, the bread of heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, had been with them the whole time. They finally got to eat. How many loaves do you have? Jesus asks them. Go and see. The story shows for us how Jesus provides for all of his people's needs, physical needs and spiritual needs. Everybody got to eat by the end of this story. All of the stomachs were full, and everybody learned spiritual lessons along the way. The crowds that had gathered around Jesus learned everything that he taught them, and the disciples learned the value of depending fully on the Lord and serving him fully. When we depend on the Lord, what happens? Sometimes people will say, when you depend completely on the Lord, he will provide for all of your needs. But that's not the moral of this story. When you depend fully on the Lord, what happens? From the disciples' perspective, when you depend fully on the Lord, what happens is you get to serve him fully. As an afterthought, you get your needs met. But the primary thing is the service that Jesus calls his disciples to engage in. The feeding of the 5,000 is not focused on mouths getting food. It is focused on the interactions that Jesus has with his followers, the crowds and the disciples, those who are chasing after Jesus and finding him, and those that are chasing after bread and not coming up with very much. In the end, the disciples did not have to come up with 8 months' wages in order to provide dinner for all the people. Instead, they were simply asked to give everything they had in order to meet the needs of those that were around them, even just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Everything they had was to be put into service. Everything? Are we to spend that much? Are we really to collect everything that we can find and hand it over to the Lord for him to use for the purposes that he has? Shouldn't these people around us be responsible for some of their own provisions? Jesus gently reminded his disciples that everything they had came from him anyway. Even the food in their stomachs was a gift from him. And that only came after they gave themselves fully to serve the crowd that had already figured out where the true source of nourishment was. Are we to spend that much? Should we care for the needs of others, even if it costs us all that we have? Isn't it enough that we went from village to village just a few stories ago, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom? Or are those the wrong questions to ask? Maybe we could ask this instead. How will we intentionally grow as disciples of Jesus and as servants in our community for the sake of the kingdom of God? Maybe we could ask, how will we reach toward our vision? How can we put into practice the complete dependence on the Lord that is shown in this story? Complete dependence for all of our material and spiritual needs. How can we partner with God in order to meet the material and spiritual needs of those around us? How can we serve as the hands and feet of Christ? For the past 2 weeks, I have spoken from this place frequently about tithing and giving financial offerings to the Lord. Let me say this about tithing in the context of the feeding of the 5,000. Tithing, the practice of giving 10% regularly to the work of the Lord in this place, a spiritual and material discipline. Let me say this. When we tithe, we demonstrate our material and our spiritual dependence on the Lord. It can be a real sacrifice for us to give that much money to this church, week in and week out. Are we to spend that much? Remember, it was only after the disciples gave away all that they had that they received their meal for the evening. But on a deeper level, the tithe is about spiritual dependence on the Lord, too. When we tithe, we demonstrate how much we need God in our lives. Our money represents all that we can earn, all that we can do, all that we can be. When we give to the Lord, we remind ourselves that our total spiritual well-being is completely dependent on God's grace in our lives. And then here's the flip side of the coin, so to speak, of tithing. When we tithe, when we give to the Lord, it's not just for our own material dependence or our own spiritual dependence to demonstrate those. It's to be able to do something with those funds afterwards. When we give to the Lord, when we tithe and give offerings to the Lord, He then prepares us to serve materially and spiritually for the sake of His kingdom. We give money to the church, and then we as the church discern how God would have us to use those funds for the sake of His kingdom, for the sake of those around us. It's a challenge for us to serve. Next Sunday, the first of the month, 1st of February, will be our all-church tithe Sunday. I've mentioned this for the past few weeks, and I'm keeping it in front of you so it's on your radar. Next Sunday, during our regular tithes and offerings, I would like for all of us to give 10% of what a regular week's earnings would be. For some of you, it may be harder than others. I understand that. But for 1 week, just 1 week, to try this, to see what our giving potential is, that's the challenge that I see for us. In future weeks, we will announce what the offering was, multiply it by 52, see it spanned out over a whole year, and see what we could potentially give to the Lord over the course of a year if we were to tithe all the time. And then the next question, the so what question comes to mind. It's the next step that really matters. What do we do with those funds? What would we do if we had those funds? What could we do to further the mission of Christ in this world? How could we tangibly and intentionally grow as disciples of Jesus and as servants in our community for the sake of the kingdom of God if we tithed regularly? I believe this will be an eye-opening experience for us. And it may very well be a challenging experience for us to think about what the Lord could do through us. Are we to spend that much? Are we to give our full selves for the work of God? Two of us today have given their full selves for the sake of the Lord through the waters of baptism. Shane and Isabella have gone through the waters that many of us have gone through, that many disciples of Jesus have gone through over the years, to symbolize the newness of life that they have been given through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God for their witness and their testimony. Continue to pray for them in the days that lie ahead and for those who have been baptized recently here in the past, because the journey is not complete. It's just beginning. That act of baptism in the water is something that's strangely material and spiritual at the same time. Just like our tithes and offerings, there's something tangible about it, but it goes much deeper than just getting wet. It's about proclaiming something very important. Shane and Isabella, by your baptisms, you are declaring to us and to the world that you are committing to growing intentionally as disciples and as servants. You are declaring that the kingdom of God is the central allegiance of your life. This is a monumental day for you, and we celebrate what God is doing in your lives. I'd like to make note of something that I observed this week as I was walking up and down the hallway. I noticed that Isabella's out of the room right now, so I'll embarrass her a little bit. I was planning to say this anyway, even if she was in the room. You may know that some of us choose to leave our tithe and offering envelopes in the mailboxes here. There are boxes of envelopes, giving envelopes, and some of us choose to leave those boxes here in the mailboxes. I assume just so that you always know where they are and they're always here when you need them. That's fine. No problem with that. Others of us take them home. Whatever. The Krolikowski family is one that leaves the box of offering envelopes here. It's just what they do. So there's always a box of giving envelopes in their mailbox. But this week I noticed that there's not just one box of giving envelopes in that mailbox. There are two. One for Marty and Shannon, and one for Isabella. She has her own set of envelopes. She's working, she has an income, she gives to the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. She is putting, now I'm embarrassing her really, because she wouldn't want this spotlight, but too bad, she gets it. She's putting the Lord first in her life materially through her finances and spiritually through the waters of baptism. It's a tremendous testimony. Isabella and Shane have taken the next step of intentionally serving the Lord with their lives. They're showing their dependence on Christ and their willingness to follow in His footsteps. So my question for you is, what's the next step for you? What's the next thing for you to do? How will you now demonstrate your dependence on the Lord? What is God asking of you? Jesus said to His disciples, "You give them something to eat." Friends, we have an upcoming opportunity to feed the crowds. Next month, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we will partner with Meridian Church of God to staff the homeless shelter at the Community of Christ campgrounds on M30 just north of Sanford. From Sunday, February 15, through the 21st, Saturday, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., people from our church and from Meridian Church of God will be on the campground to walk with people, to share stories with them, to hear what life is like, to provide breakfast and lunch, to share a meal with them, to actually physically provide dinner, to bring food, to prepare food for these folks who don't have a home, 20 to 25 of them every night. It's going to cost a lot of money to prepare that much food. Are we to spend that much? Good answer, Robbie. Yes? Campgrounds. You want to go and help there? Oh, good. Sign up in the narthex. There's a sign-up sheet. I look forward to seeing you there. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. This is a chance for us to practice our physical and spiritual dependence on the Lord. A chance for us to serve physically and spiritually for the sake of the kingdom of God. Please remember, before you leave today, to sign up on the sheet in the narthex. Even if it's just to bring a meal or to come for an hour or two, any little bit will help. Remember the words of Isaiah 58, which Leslie read for us. These words remind us that material things and spiritual things are intimately connected with each other. The kind of fasting that God desires, abstaining from food, a very physical thing, the kind of fasting that God desires is for us to set people free, to feed the hungry, to pursue justice, to house the homeless, to spend ourselves in behalf of those who are in need. Remember the lesson of the feeding of the 5,000. When we depend fully on the Lord, then He prepares us to serve fully in His kingdom. Amen. Would you pray with me? O Lord our God, we give You thanks for this day and for Your many blessings in our lives. Help us to be good stewards of those blessings and to practice our complete dependence on You every day of our lives, especially this week. And as we look forward to this opportunity to serve with the Housing for the Homeless Coalition, help us to do so freely and willingly and with joyful hearts, because You have set us free and You desire for others to be free too. Give us grace to see You at work in our world. And watch over these two young people, Shane and Isabella, as they have embarked on this journey of faith, as they have made this milestone action before us all to follow You. Protect them and guide them in the days that lie ahead, we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.